a new member that was never met from the EFF already has given an apology. And we have the apology from the minister. So those are the apologies for the day. Honorable members, we have invited the department to come and brief us on the issues of forestry and how they are coordinating the activities with the other departments that are involved. And we actually have the council today to give us the feedback on the transformation charter, how far are they? But with the department, we need them to give us the feedback. Since we have met, members will remember we have met with the council at some point, and the council indicated that there is zero transformation on the sector, and this committee mandated the council to go and work hard. And other issues that the council has raised were based on the coordination or the coordinated part by the department. And then we expected today, as we're getting department presentation, will actually even clarify how do they coordinate their work with the council itself. And we had a strategic plan where we had sectors presenting to us the progress. So DM, you're welcome, and DM, your official should not come late in my meeting. I can only tolerate you to be late in the meeting. DM, you're welcome, and we take this opportunity to invite your team to present.
Thanks, Chairperson, the honorable members, whip, sustain, good morning, and all other honorable members. The first would be the extension of apology for the officials to arrived late. I don't think I need to give an excuse that they flew in this morning because there were aeroplanes yesterday. So it can't be an excuse. The DG will be leading the officials on my left, and is a DDG forestry on my right. So is a supreme authority of forestry within the department, chairperson, that is here. Surely you have raised the issue of transformation charter and the coordination that should be explained. Is one area for us that you never understand. What exactly area you are responsible? It's the area where quite several government departments are involved. So that would be your agriculture forestry itself. That would be your enterprise. That would be your rural development, water affairs, and sanitation. So I'm sure that's one coordination that we must forever talk about. But the second one, it's the proper English word to so that I don't offend those that they speak English. It's a massiveness of the industry, both national and international. The nationally with the four provinces where you find that would be Mpumalanga that I told is leading, KZN coming after Eastern Cape and Western Cape. But the issue of forests is also a serious international issue. The relationship and the coordination you talk about also, it needs to be coordinated between forestry and food security. Chairperson, until you sit and know closely how is that happening, is very difficult. But as you work on it, you realize that it's possible and it's happening. It's a new phenomenon that has come on forestry, they call it agroforest. So the forestry, its returns take time. They say the minimum of the forestry maturing is almost 8 years, going to 19 years, even 22 years maturing. So I was speaking to one young man and said it takes 12 years, and he said I'm 20. Do you mean the first harvest will be when I'm 32? And it sounds really awkward that you'll have to wait. So agroforestry then takes care of that you can have a forest growing and be utilizing it around it on agricultural matters. For instance, I forget this thing always in English. Mushrooms, yeah. They grow very well in the bush and forest. So you can still work hard to, but also the piciculture, that is your honey, that is your honey production, stays in the bush. Also, things like peanuts, they come very well in the short and young bush. So those are the things you could be, and we're trying to encourage and work the agroforestry. And these international trends moving towards that. Transformation, Chairperson, zero. When it comes to the big market. But private sector willing to work with the government towards transformation issue? Yes. All of them, no. Some of them, yes. We will be pushing with those that they are willing, and we hope that the laws and the charters will be helping us to those that are not very, very willing. South Africa, what's the standing internationally? We are very low, Chairperson. The Scandinavian countries are quite big on forestry, your Sweden and your and others, and South Africa, we are quite low. People, they talk about between 1% and 7% forestry in our country. Potential of growth is huge, working on it. But many departments will have to be involved. One major problem at the present moment is water issues, water licensing, and all that dealing with forestry. And the availability of land. The last point on this one, the program of the land restoration has caused some uncertainty in the industry, Chairperson. There are huge land that are claimed where the forestry exists or the potential of existence. So that causes some uncertainty in the in the industry, how are they looking at it? Others are ready to work with that with that change. Others have some little bit of resistance on it. Surely we will be working with those responsible for that transformation. But for now, the DG is here, and as you have made the call, Chairperson, and the DT is going on, and the DTG is here, will hear from us.
Thank you, Deputy Minister, Honourable Chairperson, and Honourable Members. We've provided you with a pack of information on the state of forests. The presentation will take two forms. Firstly, from ourselves on the state of forests, and we hope that this presentation addresses your the committee's what the committee seeks to understand on this. The forestry sector brings its own set of acronyms and abbreviations, so the presentation starts with that. And then the second part of the presentation will be a progress report, the BBBE progress report. It will be done by the Forestry Sector Charter Council, and therefore to that effect we've got quite a big delegation, and accept our apologies for being late. The forestry colleagues will be led by the acting DDG, Dr. Tao, who, as the Deputy Minister said, these are all colleagues who are qualified and trained in natural resource management, so they're not generalists. And then we have Mr. Smagaliso Makanasi, who is the Executive Director of the Forestry Charter Council. We have next to Dr. Tao, Ms. Susan Liseke, who is the Chief Director of Forestry Operations, who is quite capable to answer the questions about what is happening in the forest. And then we have two directors, Ms. Ndor and Ms. Dlamini, from the Forestry Department section as well. And we have our support from my office here and from Deputy Minister's office. But those would be the technical people who will be presenting. Chairperson, with your permission, I'd like to hand over to Dr. Charles to do the first part of the presentation. I'm sorry.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. Honorable Deputy Minister, Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee, DG of the Department of Agriculture, Forest and Fisheries, colleagues in attendance of this session, we want to appreciate the opportunity to be invited to provide this briefing on the forestry program. We would also want to express our deepest appreciation on the timely nature of this engagement, given the fact that 2015 is a year during which the Millennium Development Goals are reviewed, the impact, and there's also a move to adopt Sustainable Development Goals towards 2030, of which forestry is one of the key SDG areas. If I'm not mistaken, it's SDG 17. Within that context also, that during June, the Honorable Deputy Minister led a team to New York to the United Nations Forest Forum, where a review of the non-legally binding agreement on forestry that started in 2007 was undertaken with the resultant adoption of the non-legally binding agreement on forests that will run from 2016 to 2030, which maps priorities and measures to ensure that sustainable forest management is achieved globally to protect the 4 billion hectare sector globally that we have, which accounts for 31% of the global land cover. It is also, Honorable Chairperson, crucial that we indicate that as we present here as the department, we would also like to highlight things that we think the leadership would assist us in with regard to strengthening sustainable forest management within all its six perspectives. And I think it is compelling for me that I just mention those six perspectives of sustainable forest management so that whenever a review of progress is made, we are able to reflect on those before I just get to the presentation. Firstly, internationally, when we talk sustainable forest management, we are referring to whether the extent of the forest is still intact. It's not on the presentation, it's just my preface. I'm going to get to the presentation. We look at the extent of the forest. Secondly, we look at forest biodiversity, whether it's still intact. Thirdly, we look at forest health and vitality. Fourthly, we look at the production functions of forests, whether the forests, whether natural or the exotic plantations are able to produce the required benefits, socio-economic and environmental benefits. We also look at the protective functions of forests, whether they are still able to provide their protective services in terms of your environmental services, in terms of carbon cycle issues. We also look at the socio-economic functions of forests. And lastly, the legal and policy instruments. So by and large, this seeks to say the oversight of the work of forestry would need to be grounded on those principles so that we are able to balance benefits with the protective and productive uses, and also check whether we have got adequate local legal instruments. So we really appreciate this opportunity. In terms of the presentation, this slide number two outlines the layout of the presentation. We'll cover all those 22 areas. We can go to slide three. In this slide, it just shows the forest map of South Africa. In terms of the forest map of South Africa as updated recently, the red on the legend, the red coated area is staff-owned commercial plantations. These are plantations that are under the department, managed some by support, some by ourselves, the department, and some leased out to private companies. As we know, those four packages, Singisi, Siyatubeka, Amathole, and the MGO package. Then the next one, the green one, is natural forests, are also highlighted on the map. And then the privately owned plantations are also highlighted there. So just for us to have a picture of where the forests are located, and GMS clearly indicated where these are. Then on the next slide, we felt, because there's acronyms that are used in the text or in subsequent slides, we just indicate what those mean. And then we can go to the next slide, which is five. I think just to draw interest, we demonstrate some of the things that can be seen in forests on our right. It's what normally happens in our indigenous forests, like hiking, where there are hiking trails, and so on and so forth. Then on our left is just the harvested piece of the plantation area or the block or the compartment. Then on this slide, we felt we need to define key terms as they appear in the presentation's subsequent slides, where we explain afforestation as the planting of new forests on land which is historic, which historically has not been covered by forests. So your greenfield planting. Then we also use the definition of natural forests as multi-layered vegetation units dominated by trees with a canopy or the crown of 75% and more. Then a plantation is also defined there, which is mainly considered of exotic species or species that is imported from elsewhere. Then a definition of thicket is also given. And of course, the definition of savanna, that is also called the woodland, is provided. And the other word that is going to come in the presentation is the temporary unplanted areas, which are plantation areas that were TFLs and have not been replanted. It could also be that they were affected by the fire, and as a result, there's no trees or is not in a normal state of a plantation. So based on this, we then, Honorable Chairperson, went to the purpose of this briefing. I've already touched on some of the benefits that we see as a department, but there's also a brief that we were working from the Portfolio Committee, Honorable Chair. Firstly, that we'd like to brief the Portfolio Committee on forestry plantations under the department's management. 2, assistance provided to community plantations. 3, coordinated activities between Department of Water and Sanitation, Rural Development, to address challenges around access to water rights and, of course, the issue of claims and other rights over state forest land. Next slide. This one just gives a background on forestry that it comprises 4 categories, which is your indigenous forest, commercial plantation, the woodlands, and trees outside forests. Why trees outside forests? It's because issues of greening our localities is one of the priorities that we advance as a department in partnership with other parties. The other point is the rural-based nature of forestry and its concomitant benefits to rural economies through employment, through access for consumptive and non-consumptive uses, like your spiritual purposes. Honorable DM mentioned the issue of, you know, mushroom, beekeeping, and so on and so forth. We also just indicate here that it is also a major contributor to the economy through its diversified forest product industry. And also that by 2013, records indicate that it contributed 25.5% to the agricultural gross domestic product. And it also contributes to the manufacturing subsectors such as sawmilling, paper, pulp production, and mining and construction, as we all know. You will see logs being transported to, Rustenburg, Rujanala, to Kenneth Kaunda, in Blackstop and those areas for mining purposes, you know, to assist in those operations. Slide 9 just talks to the fact that when the restructuring of state forests was done, there was a determination to have 3 categories of state plantations. Category A, which were leased out to private companies, Singisi, Hans Marensky, Rensis, and the MTO in the Western Cape. That is category A. And then category B are the plantations that were retained for management by the department. And category C are also those that you find in communities called the woodlots. So the category B is the 60,000 and C's. It's the 60,200 hectares that are currently managed by the department directly. And also that the department enforces the relevant acts to check compliance. You know, our relevant acts will be the National Forest Act, the National Health and Forest Fires Act, and of course also complying with regional and international obligations like the United Nations Convention on Biodiversity, on Biodiversity, United Nations Convention on Desertification, and so on and so forth. We are also, in terms of Bullet 3, Honorable Chair, involved in forestry enterprise development through supplying technical help and marketing assistance to small growers. We talk about a figure of about 20,000 small growers in the database of Forestry South Africa. As the DMO also indicated correctly, we are also investigating the role of agroforestry in local households and food security. This is to ensure that forestry begins to interface with food security measures through its diversified, you know, services. So this is also one of the priorities. DAF is also working towards certification of these plantations by 2018, with the first ones in 2016. The certification issue relates to the plantation of forest health issues and forest viability, those sustainable forest management principles that I mentioned in the beginning. There is an agency called the Forestry Stewardship Council, which has got the responsibility to make sure that plantations are checked or forests are checked, that they are well managed sustainably, and that that helps you to, even where you have to commercialize, particularly on plantations. They will have to check whether they are harvested from a certified plantation. So it's also a business imperative, but also an environmental imperative. In the next slide, we just talk about the fact that the sector created 165,000 jobs, and this was in 2012. You'll see in the next presentation that the revised figure, 146,000, and there will be an explanation why it declined from 165,000 to 146,000. But these are the areas where the jobs have been created as broken down. Next slide. This slide does show comparatively, we indicated that globally forests take about 4 billion hectares, 31% of the land cover. And then this just shows how South Africa is faring in terms of the footprint of commercial plantations, 1.268 hectares, which is also a decline from mid-90s where we were at 1.5 million. And the reasons are obviously factors such as the fact that forestry is regarded as what we call stream flow reduction activity, implying that in areas where you planted in riparian zones or in the streams, because of water absorption, you have to move away from those areas. The issues of fires also affect some of the planted areas, and as a result, you have a reduction in the land area. So it's an issue that needs to be addressed, particularly through afforestation that was mentioned earlier. Next slide. Okay, this slide just talks about forestry, forest product trade in terms of, you know, exporting of products. What I've read recently is that the palm products are the major, you know, export commodities. But it can be covered as we discuss further later. And then the next one just talks about comparatively in South Africa, the comparative analysis of forestry and other land uses. in terms of how much land is being used. You can see grazing uses a bigger chunk, arable land the second, nature conservation, other, and forestry takes a small part. So I think the explanations given earlier would cover this in terms of what needs to be done, what could be done to expand on these areas. Next one. In this one, Honorable Chair, it is just an outline of, in the context of forestry areas, the ownership arrangement or ownership pattern. We can see the corporate or the private sector owns a bigger share, followed by commercial farmers, and then subcoal, followed by state or municipalities, and then and small growers. Okay. Then in the next slide, this is about the 60,200 hectares that we indicated are category B and C that we are, the state is currently managing in various areas. We can see Eastern Cape has got 64 category C's, or the woodlots, 16 category B's, and they are, I want to just check their hectares, yes. Area is 27,646 hectares, and then their value is determined on the last column. So the aggregate value is 565 million hectares of all category B and C plantations that we are currently managing. Thank you. We felt, Chair, because as we talk forestry, we should talk about the three of them plus the trees outside forests. We should also just share that with indigenous forests and woodlands or savanna areas, they cover about 492 hectares, and they are classified into those categories, and their provincial distribution is also depicted there, and DAF is managing 189,696 hectares of this across the country, and our woodlands also cover between 29 and 39 million hectares. The main role of DAF, in particularly in indigenous and woodlands, is conservation planning and compliance promotion to make sure that we assess the species in there. We have interventions such as assessing the RTEs, rare, threatened, and endangered species, and also making sure that degradation is minimized. And where they have been degraded, the replanting of those indigenous tree species. We have projects with communities in various areas, notably the Eastern Cape, Amatole area, and so on and so forth. Next slide. In this slide, I think that should depict some of the uses to demonstrate. You see a community living adjacent to the plantation, but the plantation still looks intact, and our daddy here, using one of the forest products to prepare this item. Okay, next slide is about our roles and responsibilities as a department. It's linked to the previous one. We developed norms and standards for indigenous forest management. There is an international framework that also guides us, which is adapted to our country, called principles, criteria, indicators, and standards for sustainable forest management, PCIS, that we also apply to achieve this. Bullet 2 is just to confirm what we have said. And we also rehabilitate, and this is also linked to outcome 10 of the MPSF. We do conservation planning. We ensure compliance with the National Biodiversity Management Frameworks. We assess forests, and we enforce these two pieces of legislation, the National Forest Act and the National Felt and Forest Fires Act, in respect of integrated fire management on our forests. The next slide talks to the livelihood services on forests, that about 80% of rural households use fuel wood as their primary source of energy. This is one of the uses we talked earlier about, the productive uses of forest. So fuel wood is one of them. It also says about 28 million people use traditional plant medicine. Over 61% of plant material comes from forest species, and approximately one-third of medicinal plant material is tree bark. Rural poor are more dependent on forest resources for survival, and this is according to the State of the Forest report that was produced in 2009. This is a report that is produced every 3 years to for minister to update parliament about the state of forestry in the country. Carrying on this slide, we just want to also map the problem statement that notwithstanding the progress that has been made, there's also challenges that we would like to bring to the attention, as this has a bearing on achieving economic growth, creating jobs, and realizing food security. So the challenges is about challenges around low afforestation due to challenges around licensing, water licensing. There's also a challenge around underinvestment in non-rotation timber. The DM correctly indicated the issue about youth who may say it will take me long to start benefiting. So there's already this challenge around low investment in non-rotation crops, and also the issue of vertical integration, you know, within the value chain of our players, particularly the beneficiaries of transformation, where the issue of dominance by a few big vertically integrated forestry operations is a challenge. So this talks to the issue of the need to have transformation at all levels, you know, at the silvicultural or growing and tree management stage, the harvesting, processing, and enterprise levels. There's also, Honorable Chair, the risks associated with climate change and variability manifesting with fires, pests, and diseases, which is currently posing a challenge. The slow pace of transformation since the charter was adopted. There's successes that colleagues in the next presentation will talk to, but there's areas where there can be improvement. Climate change has already been highlighted, and this, I think, the other point that can be added is that you end up, particularly with the issue of reducing the temporary unplanted areas, you end up planting late because there's been a delay in rainfall, and that then affects your planning, you know, for sustainable forest management. There's also the challenge of heavy dependence of rural communities who live adjacent to forests, resulting with degradation, and also the issue of unsustainable harvesting methods, which result with desertification and degradation. Next slide. I think in this slide, it's just background that is already known about the white paper, what it says in terms of the transformation agenda. This is just to serve as a springboard for the next slides that talk about what are the existing programs. So this I can just talk through quickly. We have the white paper, the National Forest Act. It talks about communities having to enjoy rights through lease and other arrangements. Slide number 23, Honorable Chair, it talks about the transformation charter and also the link between the white paper priorities and the national development plan. And also the three there that afforestation is also linked to the APEP, the Agricultural Policy Action Plan, to address economic development and job creation. And linked to CP11 also the fact that rehabilitation work of plantations, such as maintenance of roads and construction of fire breaks, also contributes to CP11. And as a result, in this slide, just to say, this contributes to, in terms of job creation, to the medium-term framework as the outcome for. In this slide, we just want to highlight further some of the challenges that have already come up that there's limited opportunity for expansion in the forestry estate due to cumbersome licensing processes leading to withdrawal of strategic partners because of the delay, you know, in obtaining licenses. There were also challenges with recommissioning processes in Mpumalanga and Western Cape, but we can report that this has been addressed. The recommissioning strategy has been approved and work is currently happening. We will state that later. These issues around climate change, we've mentioned that, and the issue of underinvestment, I think it's also coming up again. This now zooms to forests that are managed by the department in slide 26. Specifically, the challenges that we are experiencing as a department. One is about the aging and fragile workforce. Most of our workforce is people that are already at the advanced stages of their age and some in a fragile health situation. Also, the challenge of deteriorating working and living conditions in terms of their infrastructure, their offices, office equipment, their the roads, connectivity, and so on and so forth. Budget limitations for operations, this is a challenge that we are facing, including where you have to procure things like the seedling so that you are able to plant on time, then you have challenges around finalizing processes. The aging infrastructure is also a case in point, and the illegal clearing of trees. This results from many factors. It could be communities that have their needs in terms of acquiring wood, but it could also be about communities that feel impatient because their land claims are not finalized, and therefore some will resort to some of these measures. The afforestation license is affecting us, and on slide 27, it's about the challenge around low standards set in terms of the time it takes for issuing water licenses. So this is a matter that requires thorough engagement or detailed engagement with the relevant department. The last point on this part is the departmental funding mechanisms also are not adequately addressing forestry issues, and this is also because of limited funding availability. There's currently a move to, and I think there's a breakthrough to ensure that MAPISA funding also caters for forestry priorities. There was also an instruction around engagement with rural development on land claims. This is also an important issue. The better part of state forest is under claim or is subject to informal tenure rights of communities under the Interim Protection of Informal Land Rights Act. We can report that the process of finalizing claims often take long and brings about unintended consequences, such as the fact that communities are not receiving the rental money they are entitled to. You know, since we started collecting in early 2000, in the early 2000, 2001, 2002, we're sitting now at about 302 million in the trust funds, and it is really putting pressure on the department. Communities ending up being in conflict with companies that are operating the forest land because they see them transporting logs, but they are saying, when are we benefiting from this? So it's a challenge. As the department, we work very closely with rural development to make sure that this is addressed and then rental can flow. The other point around transformation imperatives is about the need to address obligations under the charter. One example is the issue of transferring the, what we call the MMM, Mabatombila, Mazengwenya, plantations to these communities. Progress is that a trust has been established, funding has been obtained from the Jobs Fund with some contribution from the department to assist in finalizing this transfer. This matter is being considered towards finalization, Honorable Chair and members. And we believe that in terms of slide 29, this model can be replicated for, if really done successfully, can be replicated elsewhere for transfer of state plantations, particularly Category Bs and where applicable Cs. We state also here that the leasing of Category A plantation has resulted with the accumulation of lease rental, where the Gabelo Land and Restitution Trust has been established to manage that funding. And on slide 20-30, we also just share how much has been paid to communities in 2011. It's about 86.4 million that was paid to the following communities. And if there's a question to the effect that how much are you continuing to pay, we will also indicate a community like St. Paul that currently is continuing to receive rental while we are resolving challenges with rural development affecting these other communities. And then on slide 31, it's about support to community plantations. We have developed the afforestation strategy to support new entrants into the market, which also addresses expansion of forestry plantations to address the country's timber demands. I think somewhere down the line we'll talk about where there can be afforestation, you know, based on this strategy. Okay, and the support focuses on these two areas: growers needing support to establish plantations, and existing growers in terms of post-settlement support. I think here it's just an important statement to say, given the fact that forestry has got potential to create jobs and stimulate economic development while also addressing social needs of communities, it is important that this be noted. But this process is regulated by a number of pieces of legislation. Before afforestation can take place, you have to go through water licenses, you have to go through environmental impact assessment in terms of the NEMA, or National Environmental Management Act. We also have to comply with one of our own pieces of legislation, which is the Conservation of Agricultural Resources Act. Yes. And as a result, license applications by individuals, communities, and industry have been taking long, leading to frustrations by applicants who sometimes end up withdrawing. In this slide, I will just talk about the results of the afforestation studies that were carried out. That is slide 33. That studies were carried out, and it was determined that in the following provinces, afforestation can still take place, but it has to comply with those measures that, as we indicated, in Mpumalanga, 10,000 hectares. With that condition, Limpopo, 6,000 hectares, KwaZulu-Natal, 39, Eastern Cape, 100,000 hectares. In this slide, some work has been done to achieve afforestation objectives, particularly the issue of licensing. We report here that the National Afforestation Technical Trust Team.
Thank you, sir. I don't have slide 33 here. I don't know if other members have.
Can we get
Thanks, sir.
Let's continue.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Apologies for that. The National Afforestation Task Team has been established, constituted of Department of Water Sanitation, our department, and I think Department of Environmental Affairs, and some regional officials that in whose provinces afforestation has to take place. Just to also indicate that the department has also funded environmental impact assessment for communities in the Eastern Cape,
covering an area of 13,000 hectares, resulting with a record of decisions for 10,500 hectares, and where we invested about 4.2 million. In the current financial year, we will fund the and conduct environmental impact assessment in KwaZulu-Natal for 5,000 hectares that could be afforested. And once that is done, it will then pave the way for afforestation license and subsequent plantings. But that will still be subjected to Conservation of Agricultural Resources Act and the National Water Act requirements. In slide 36, we just report that we also developed a strategy for post-settlement support once communities have taken over state forest land or they are managing a forest, which will focus on expansion and advisory services, funding mechanisms, training, incubation programs, and so on and so forth. We are also finalizing the afforestation protocols document to ensure that there's a fair play between big established industries and small growers, and the draft document is in place. Slide 37, which also say that the guide or toolkit for supporting small growers and other producers, and here we, Forestry South Africa is one of the players. And this provides guidelines for best practice operations and how to obtain necessary documentation and approvals before starting with afforestation. On the issue of water licensing and water rights, we carry on. The department has established an intergovernmental committee comprising of these departments. I've already mentioned them, some of them. And we are saying here we need, when a need arises, other crucial departments like rural development are invited to the committee to deal with community resolutions. And we also talk about the National Water Act providing for water trading between, you know, landowners so that we are able to have those that did not have water license rights to can actually start accessing say. This is also, in terms of slide 39, is to say water trading is also being discussed at the National Water Afforestation Task Team. I think there's an omission there. And in our quarterly meetings with rural development, we will continue discussing this. Okay, next slide. Okay, in this one, we just talk about the issue of land claims. It's slide 40, Honorable Chair. Some of the stuff have already been mentioned that in 2001, Cabinet to the decision to restructure state forests, and some were put in category A, some in B, some in C. And then slide 41 just indicates or depicts where those packages are. In KZN, the extent is so many hectares, 21,956, Singisi, and so on and so forth. And slide 2. In restructuring category A plantations, lease agreements were signed for 70 years, as Honorable Chair and members are aware, and that lease agreement is administered by the state with the following undertakings. Bullet 2, the companies pay an annual rental for the use of the land. We've already talked about over 300 million that is currently in the Gabelo Land and Restitution Trust. Then the rental money is currently invested with the Public Investment Corporation at 304 million. Yeah, I think there was a mistake. It's not 302, it's 304 million as at 30 March 2015. In terms of restitution of land claims, settlement framework for land claims on subcall and category A plantations, on subcall category A plantations, it says that the manner in which claims are to be settled is spelled out in clause 18 and 19 of that big lease agreement that is signed between government and that private sector company. And the conditions are that when a claim is settled against the lease land, government should procure that the provision of the main lease agreement will apply to the claimed land. It implies that instead of the community taking over that land, state will then lease that land from that community. And then government will pay lease rental collected from the private companies to the land claimants. And the Regional Land Claims Commission is responsible for facilitating that process. And just to ensure that there's a flow of project management on land claims as they affect state forest land, we have quarterly engagements with Regional Land Claims Commissions in the affected provinces to make sure that we discuss progress with those claims, and although there are delays, as we have already indicated. In respect of Category B and C plantations that we are managing, the condition is also that when a claim is settled on that plantation, government shall transfer ownership of the plantation assets to the claimants. It is a case similar to the Mbazwana Mazengwenya plantation that we reported on earlier. And government shall, and Mabaso, and government shall also assist the land claimants with preparation of business plans for plantation management. Record of land claims on forestry land, particularly the leased land, including the Komati land forest that is managed by Subcol now. Claims lodged on Amatola is 19. All are not settled as yet, but we were informed that they have been researched and valuation has been undertaken. Singisi is 10, 6 approved, researched and valued. MTO in the Western Cape, that is progress in terms of how far we are with land claims in collaboration with rural development. Slide 46. On category B and C, the 60,200 hectares. On these, we have 21 land claims, 3 approved in terms of Section 42D. This is a section in the Restitution Act in terms of which you package the decision on how the land will be managed, and this is being processed. Category C, which is our woodlots, it's also 6 claims not settled, researched, and valued. In terms of strengthening sustainable forest management and natural resource management, we would also like to report that the department has gazetted the bills on the 3 pieces of legislation. One is the Forestry Amendment Bill that relates to the National Forest Act. It has been gazetted, and the Natural Fires and Forest Fires Amendment Bill has also been gazetted, and the Subdivision of Agricultural Land Act 70 of 1970 is being rewritten in the form of what we call PDALF, or the Preservation and Development of Agricultural Land Framework, and that draft framework has been gathered for public consultation and will be embarking on provincial consultation so that we source inputs from various stakeholders until end of this year, with a national workshop aimed to planned to take place in early 2016. So on all these public consultations have been commenced with, and we have noted with appreciation comments that have been received from different role players on these fields. There was also an issue of the integrating forestry workers, dealing with the challenges around conditions of forestry workers, and this is also being attended to. And also that an intergovernmental forum has been established to deal with blockages to the afforestation licensing conditions. We have also talked about the delays in afforestation licenses. And we also just appeal that support be provided to ensure that there's more effort to ensure expansion of forestry plantations, especially in communal areas. But of course, this will also be subject to those afforestation processes or protocols. Some of the strategic interventions is that the department has facilitated afforestation licenses by paying for the costly environmental impact assessment. We have talked about that $4 million. The implementation of sector adaptation and mitigation plans, as well as forestry protection strategy, is some of the work that is happening around climate change, around pests and diseases. This is also happening with room for improvement. There's also the issue of refurbishment of forestry plantations to reduce the temporary unplanted areas, and the upgrading or refurbishing of the worker villages, that some of which are not in good conditions. So the department will further engage in the following initiatives: to meet with the Department of Health, Human Settlement, Education, Safety and Security, Labor, Water and Sanitation to resolve challenges around forestry workers' conditions, health, housing and sanitation issues. Furthermore, it's about meeting with Water and Sanitation regarding measures to avoid lengthy period that it takes to issue water licenses. This is continuing. An intervention in collaboration with funding issues to address underinvestment in the forestry sector and the possibility of establishing a forestry grant to support small growers, which is still a challenge. I reported on the recommissioning of state forest areas in the Western Cape and Mpumalanga, and here we just indicate that a study that was conducted in collaboration with the Industrial Development Corporation to investigate the option to roll out the recommission of the Western Cape, that resulted with the recommissioning strategy. That the recommissioning strategy has been approved, and we are currently engaging with the role players in the province to ensure that afforestation or replanting takes place, covering about 24 just over 20,000 hectares, 24 or 22. Just? Okay, thank you. Just to say that in implementing the recommission strategy, some proposals were made in terms of, what tender process will apply for that, and our consultations now through the what we call the Western Cape Forestry Development Forum. It's addressing those issues. It's aiming to address those issues. There's a proposal in there that in the recommissioning strategy that the 22,000 hectares or 24,000 hectares needs to be put in 5 packages. So that communities can actively participate in managing them. Then in concluding remarks, slide 53, just to state that on the issue of water licenses, the department through the National Afforestation Task Team has requested Water and Sanitation to set standards for the time required to issue licenses so that we work within a defined process. I think the next point will be talked to by the colleague from the Charter Council about funding mechanisms for small growers. The department also reports that it is continually engaging with the Department of Rural Development with room for improvement, obviously, on the issue of finalization of land claims. Concluding remarks is an acknowledgement that forestry can make a contribution towards achieving the departmental and, by extension, government objectives. However, the following needs to be addressed: acceleration of the transformation of the sector, processing of the afforestation licenses, refurbishment of category B and C, improving worker conditions in plantations, ensure that there's adequate investment and funding for the forest sector with particular reference to new entrants in the market. Honorable Chair, Deputy Minister, honorable members and DG colleagues, thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much. We've now, as the council to present, members will then ask the questions jointly. Council?
Thank you, Chairperson. Honourable members, Deputy Minister, DG, and colleagues, I'll be assisted by Makosazana Mavimbela, our researcher. First, I'd like to apologize for my dress code and Ms. Mavimbela's dress code. We lost our bags last night. That's how we look the way we are today. We apologize. Can we go to the next slide, which is just our presentation outline. We will look at the purpose, the profile, the status report, which we conduct every year to look at how far we've come in terms of transformation, and we'll look at the challenges that we are experiencing as a sector and as a charter council. As advised, the purpose of our presentation today is to look at the progress and implementation of BBBE in the forest industries and its related subsectors. Like I said, also, and just to touch a bit on the challenges that we're experiencing. First, the profile, I know that Dr. Tawe has touched on it, but we've also included the profile to just show the type of sector that we're dealing with. We know that a lot of people that deal with the environment complain about forestry, but must be noted that we're only using 1% of the land for forestry. And in terms of that, also we contribute 1% to the national GDP. Dr. Dawe has given you the agricultural GDP. But in terms of the national, we won't contribute 1%, and then we were involved in the growing up to the beneficiation of the tree as a fiber, mainly on pulp and paper and sawmilling products. The next slide, please. All charters are a partnership between industry and government. Ours is not different. We started the whole process early on, and our charter as a sector code was published in 2009. Although now it's been revised, and we are awaiting gazetting from the DTI, because new codes have been introduced, and we have to align with the new codes. Our main objective on the next slide is to extend economic opportunities and benefits to black people in those industries that are listed, the growers, the contracting, sawmilling, pawn, and charcoal. We still have two industries which is difficult to get into the charter, which is charcoal and furniture, because they are not that well organized. They don't have national associations, so it's turning to a bit of a challenge to get them to participate in the charter and its processes. The charter was launched in 2008, operating as a Section 21 company, with the responsibility of facilitating, encouraging the implementation of the charter by industry. to monitor and report on the undertakings that should be taken by government and industry. Because this is a partnership, government and industry get together, discuss issues that have been faced or challenges that are faced by the industry, and each one of them will come with different undertakings, and then we monitor those undertakings. And we supposed to publicize the charter, and obviously not everyone knows about us, which is, you will say, is one of the challenges that we still have to make sure that we overcome. And we also, as far as our resources allow, participate in other government and industry forums, and also part of the joint technical team of the Department of Trade and Industry. From time to time, we conduct what we call a foresight exercise to look at the industry and its challenges, look at the future and how we can meet all the challenges that can we have to resolve in making this industry an industry that would be able to transform easily, making an industry that would allow more black people to take part. We know that forest is not for many young people a cool industry. So that would be one of the challenges. So with the foresight exercise, we look at how we can try to get more of the young people to be part of the forest industry and its related industries, and also issues like the water licenses and others, as mentioned by Dr. Dao, and how industry and government can try to put their heads together in resolving those. In terms of oversight, we report to the President's BEE Advisory Council, to the DTI, and obviously to our line department, which is the Department of Agriculture, Forest and Fisheries. We have a board, which at the moment we're in a phase where we're trying to reconstitute them, because according to our Articles of Association, they cannot be permanent. They need to change from time to time. So we are in a period where we're trying to reconstitute our board again. The next slide. This slide now talks to what has been happening since the last time we were here in November 2014. We do that by conducting what we call a BEE status report, where we write a research report on what has been happening by looking at the scorecard seven elements, which include ownership, management control, employment equity, skills development, professional procurement, enterprise development, and socio-economic development. We look at the individual elements and see how the industry, how each company is doing in terms of those. The next slide. So who do we measure? We measure the following industries or enterprises: those that have a turnover of over 35 million, whom we call the medium and large enterprises; qualifying enterprises with a turnover of 5 million to 35 million, and those that we call the exempted micro enterprises, whose turnover is less than 5 million. In terms of those enterprises, the medium and large, we score them on all the elements. If you are a large organization, a large enterprise, we score you on all the seven elements from ownership up to socioeconomic development. While the qualifying and small industries, enterprises, we allow them to choose four elements, and we score them on the four elements. However, those things have changed now with the new codes that have just been introduced in May by GTI. Now everyone is scored on five elements. We've written reports in terms of the transformation of the industry, Now, this is the fifth time that we have written one. The next one, if we come here, will be very different because the codes have changed in May. And you'll find that the technical terms and also who qualifies to be a medium and large enterprise or an exempted micro enterprise is also different now because the turnover has been moved now. For example, for the micro enterprises now, their turnover needs to be up to 10 million, no longer 5 million. To define transformation, we take the certificate that the enterprises have to be evaluated on, and then we analyze that information for us to see how each enterprise is doing, and then we would look at the various subsectors where those enterprises fall, and then we evaluate on whether we are performing well or not. However, it should be noted at this point that there's a bit of a poverty of research in the forest industry, and as a result, we do not have a baseline information in terms of how many organizations are really existing in the sector. So it would depend only on those that are compliant and are submitting those certificates to us. Now, to look at the various subsectors and how we were doing, I will ask Mr. Mabim Vela to just take you through those graphs to explain each what it means and to explain how we have been doing for each.
Thank you. I will talk to the analysis based on the scorecard elements, and I will start with the MLE, which is the medium and large enterprises, which has scored on all the seven elements, and if I could just recap, they have a turnover of above 35 million. We decided to bring the five-year analysis so that we can show how the sector has been performing from the first year of reporting in 2010 to the last report of 2014. What we can see here is that with the target of 20 points, which is the line above this, in the last report we scored a 12.24 average, and we further compared that to the KPMG report, which is a report that is done by KPMG for all the sectors that are compliant with BEE. If we then further said, for us to be able to say where is the problem and where is it that we are not doing well, let's further do a subsector scorecard performance to see in the subsectors that are supposed to report to us on their BEE or on their transformation status, who is lagging behind and who is pulling us through. Unfortunately, we also have challenges there because when you compare that next graph, there are some subsectors that have not reported, just like the charcoal one, as Mr. Mkwanazi has indicated, that this is a subsector that is a challenge probably because they do not have an association. And when we come to the contractors, we've seen that there are no contractors which are MLE or which are medium and large enterprises. They are only QSE. You can see from the four that have reported that the only subsector that is lagging a bit behind is the fiber subsector. The growers, the poles, and the sawmillings, which have performed above the average of the 2014 score is the sawmillings. Next slide, please. The next slide gives an analysis of the management control. This is just to say how many black managers do we have in senior management, junior management, and we can see that this is an element that the sector is not at all doing so well. Because from the target of 10 weighting points, we've only managed to reach at least half in 2012. In 2014, there was not much difference even when compared to the KPMG. And when you look to the subsectors, you can see that it is only the fiber that have performed at least above half, at least they are on half, even though they are the others that are slightly below the total average of how the sector performed. We further move on to the employment equity, which basically relates to the employment of black people, black disabled, and the youth in the sector. This is also an element that the sector is struggling with. If we can do the five-year analysis, we can see that we are also struggling to at least meet the half of 15 rating points. In 2014, we only got a 6.07, though it was slightly above the KPMG report. Even when comparing to the how the subsectors have performed, we can see that the only ones that have given a fair or an exceptional score was only the polls. The other three that have reported have not given us so much joy. Next slide, please. The next one talks to the skills development element. This is an element also that is more or less performed like the management control and the employment equity. It is an element that is also the sector is struggling with. If you look at the results, it's also an element that is struggling to even reach at least 7.5, which is half of the target, 15 points. And when you compare it, when you compare it even to the KPMG report, it is also showing that it is not only a forest sector issue, but it's most likely a national issue. We can further compare to how the sectors have performed, the subsectors have performed. We can see that the polls are still also showing to be a leading sector in this element. Next slide, please. The next one is the preferential procurement element, which is an element that provides market for our small enterprises most likely, and it's an element that our sector is doing exceptionally well. We can see that in most cases, even when compared to the KPMG report, we are excelling, and when even comparing to the how the subsectors have performed, it's only the growers that have not given a good score, but at least they are above the 10, they're at least closer to the 20 points rating points. Next slide, please. This next slide talks about enterprise development, how the sector develops new businesses. We can see that this is a sector that this is an element that the sector feels more comfortable with. The performance has been outstanding in most of the years, and it has been showing some improvement. Even when you compare to how the subsector has performed, you can see that the subsector are actually putting in a great effort into complying with this element. The last one on the MLE is the socio-economic development. We usually call this one giving back to society. It's an area also where the industry or our sector as a forest is showing to be taking care of its people, should I say. It is exceptionally doing well, and you can see that the points are actually above the 5 target points. This is basically due to that there are bonus points that are given for actually meeting the target. And even when you compare to how the subsectors are doing, we can see that they are doing well. It's only the fiber that is a bit below compared to the score that was achieved in 2014. We further go to the analysis of the QSEs. The QSEs are the qualifying small enterprises who have the liberty to choose any of the four elements that they prefer. The first graph shows which elements the QSE were mostly preferred or they were mostly comfortable with, you can see that mostly is the socio-economic development, the employment equity, and the preferential procurement, which they mostly preferred. We will actually further do also an analysis of all the elements based on their preference. If we look at the ownership also too, since the QSE are scored out of 4, their total has to be 100, meaning each element gives a total of 25 weighting points. You can see that the score of the ownership is also not so bad, because when you compare from 2010 to 2014, the score is improving, and it's more or less getting to the 25 target weighting point. Further to that, the management control, it's also not so bad, and with the QSE, it's most likely that we'll see more or less a good performance, because these are elements that they choose and they feel most comfortable with. So when you compare the management controls, you can see that they're also doing so not so bad, and the employment equity also is not as bad when it compared to the MLE, which is the medium and large enterprises. The skills development, as I had indicated in the last MLE analysis, this is one of the elements that even though they still choose, they still find it difficult to implement. The scores are totally low and they are not improving so much in such a way that they're not even half the mark of the 25 weighting point. But even though this is just an element that they have to choose, they are not forced to comply with. So the mere fact that this is an element that they choose and they're still failing to meet the target, it shows that this is an area that we need to really focus on. When it comes to the preferential procurement, this is an element that also is not so badly done, not so badly implemented. They feel comfortable with it. The scores are improving, and they are almost towards the target of 25 weighting points. Next one, please. The enterprise development also is an element that, even though there was no QSE that selected in 2011 so that we could make a complete comparison, but it is an element that is improving, because when you look at 2012 to 2014, it is increasing. And when you look at the next element, which is the SED, socio-economic development, this is also an element that the QSE are performing exceptionally well. It's only the 2 years in 2010 and 2012 where the scores were a bit lower. Then this graph here further shows the average annual performances of all the ownership, of all the elements in the 5-year reporting period. It further gives how the each element has performed from 1 year to the other. And if you look at it, you can see that even though ownership is improving, but we are still not yet there, it is not an element that is coming up all right. Management control and employment equity are also not giving us so much joy. So is skills development. But the last three are showing that these are elements that they feel comfortable to implement. So as a council, I think it is within us to focus on the three elements to say what is it that we can do differently. That is why in the first MLE, we said, let's do a sub-sector analysis to say where is the problem and who is lagging and who is doing so well. Then the next slide basically gives the overall performance of the sector to say which level are we. For the 2014 year, we are a level 4. These levels are marked by the points that we get. They range from a level 8 to a level 1. The lower the level, the better the compliance, and the higher the level, the non-compliance it is. So in this case, we are a level 4, which is an improvement from the last year performance, which was a level 5, which is a good indication that the sector is on its way. 4 of the 7 scorecard elements recorded an improvement. That is ownership, employment equity. Even though in employment equity we are still not there, but there is an improvement in that one. Skills development, it is showed an improvement in the 2014, but it's still not there. And enterprise development, which is an element that the sector performs well. There has been a low performance on ownership on designated groups, that is the ownership on women, ownership on youth, ownership on disabled, and ownership on black people generally. The management control and employment equity are two of the elements that are struggling to move beyond the 50% target. They've never actually went above that. So these are two elements that focus should be given to. We can see that when we look at the management, when we look at the management control, we can see that black women representation is still limited. We are not getting joy when it comes to having black women in management positions. Skill development, even though this is an element that the sector is really struggling, it has shown to be above the KPMG report, though there's still lots of improvement required. We have seen that as a sector, there has been excellent performance when it comes to enterprise development, which has at least got 98% of the target, preferential procurement and SED, which in most cases it exceeds because of the bonus points. The QSE has always got 80% of target and has maintained a level 3 status since they were rated in the year 2010. So for the past 5 years, they haven't changed. They've only maintained the level 3 status. The EMEs, which are not scored, but they only get a level 4 status, have maintained their level 4 status, but they can improve if they can be rated and be improved if they comply with what we call the code of good conduct on contracting and employment practices. Thank you.
Just to recap on the challenges, first that we really need to have baseline figures on the sector, because the numbers we are using now are based on the enterprises that are compliant, but there's a whole lot more that are not compliant, and we also need to look at those and to know how many of those are out there in the sector so that we can be able to deal with those. We are also happy that there are new codes now that will make sure that everyone that falls within the sector complies with the legislation around EEE, because before it was optional, but now everyone is compelled to comply with this. And then we have to look at the issues of performance around ownership. Where we find that in some of the enterprises, because they are owned by families, we need new, the new codes do look at that now to sort of compare living family-owned enterprises to start looking at the issues of ownership. Because government is not really saying that people must give up, their companies, but that they must give a share either to the workers or to black people. And we still have to make sure that there's greater improvement in terms of enterprise development and to define it so that we all know what does it mean in terms of the forest industries, what is enterprise development, and also to have better enforcement measures that will allow us also to go to organizations to audit them, because at the moment the law didn't allow us to go to organizations to do audits. But with the new code now, we know that we will have more powers now to enforce or to make sure that organizations are more compliant with BBB legislation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was the report. Let me allow members to ask questions. Maybe to ensure the members, I didn't get the radical transformation. It may be in the meantime, you can just get it. You know, I've been trying to find it there. I've listened intensively to the radical part. And I heard the linkage of the APEP, but I don't get it. What is it that you're going to do to implement? What programs are there to make sure that the targets of APEP are being met? The second thing is the contract of the company. 7 years. It's done like this. But I just wanted to check, in line with the restitution maximum and other that have been introduced, are we going to review it and the money that is in the bank, including that amount, which communities have benefited, what program is there? And my worry has been that the department wrote about the report of 1919 and council talk about 2014, and I expected the council to report to the department is supposed to be updated. And so the DG has been referring to the report of 1919, and I can hear the council is updating talking about 2014 report. So, and I expected the department to have in advance because the council reports to the department. If maybe I can just get that clarity. Honorable State and Honorable Jason, Honorable Zungu.
Thank you, Chairperson. I have a few questions, so you can stop me when you think I've asked enough. Yes, thank you for the presentation. I also have the same concerns that you had. I'm concerned about some of the info that we get in the documents. For instance, on slide 10, when it talks about in 2012 the sector created 165,300 jobs. I'm wondering, I'm querying the years that we get reporting on, because it's 2015 now. Why are we getting 2012 stats? There must be newer stats or if we could get at least a comparison, because I get the impression from the document that the forestry sector is in decline, and it's difficult for me to make that assumption if we get only just on 1 year or so. So if we can just get, because some of the slides show that if you look at the hectares or the numbers of forests, it's going down. Since the sector is in decline, Chair, I would want us to look at what is the department's role or job to ensure that we grow the sector again. And for me, that's linked to the whole BDC triple E thing. How can you ask a sector to transform if it's really going down? I don't know, because I couldn't make up for myself. Unfortunately, I don't know the forestry sector so well, if we are going up, or but I get the impression we're going down. So we need to put something on the table, Chair, that's linked to APAP to say to us, okay, for us to grow the forestry sector, we need to do A, B, and C. So if we can get that kind of sense and presentation so that we grow the sector and then tell the people, okay, but, you know, you must transform, but you can only transform also if you're growing. If people are shedding jobs and shedding forests and shedding, we are losing, we won't grow. So I'm really concerned about that, but I don't know, and I don't see that, the trend, that I didn't see the presentation giving us that kind of information. Chairperson, linked to that, on slide 9, the department spoke about the exact words were, wasn't that on the back? That is working towards certification of these plantations, but somewhere they spoke about the difficulty, I wrote it down somewhere, slide 20, low afforestation due to cumbersome licensing processes. So I'm trying to link all of these things. Maybe if we can find out in the portfolio, why is it cumbersome? Why is afforestation not taking place? I see it's linked to water and licensing and all kinds of other things, but if we can also maybe get a sense of what it is that you need to deal with, maybe, and that sometimes, or most of the time happens, DM, we're dealing with a sector, but all the other departments play such a massive role on agriculture and forestry and fisheries because the laws and impact in other departments impact on our departments. So if we maybe can get some kind of a sense, why is it cumbersome? If the department says it's a cumbersome process, we need to know what is cumbersome, so that if there's something that we need to change to ensure to grow the sector, that we can help with that. Then, maybe I was sleeping at that stage, or maybe I wasn't listening, but the explanation of the B and categories B and C, because I work in a rural community in the Eastern Cape, also part of my constituency, and I look at the people going to find wood for fire and to cook, and they I don't see us planting woodlots anymore. Whose responsibility is that? And I saw a lot of discussion about that. I would like to find out, is it because if I speak to the communities and always in the municipalities told me that they just don't have money. And I don't see the woodlots being planted anymore. There's old ones that's also not really very well maintained. So whose responsibility is that? And does it fall in the Department of Agriculture? Because then I think, Chairperson, as a portfolio, we need to also then take a serious role into that. Because I don't think all the woodlots are being maintained as it's supposed to be. People are cutting them out and they're not replanting it. And where does it fall? So I'll stop there. I have a whole host of other questions, but I'll stop there for now. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much, Honorable Yongzu. Honorable Yongzu.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for the presentation, department. Okay, I also have a lot of questions, but I'll stick to three. On page 8, Dr. Tao referred to the contribution forestry makes to the GDP of agriculture has been 25.5. Maybe I would like to know what is the contribution to, in percentage contribution to the national GDP of forestry. Then, on page 9, on page 9, you refer to the DAF investigation into the role of agro-processing in local household and food security. I would like to know how far is that investigation and do you have any results as yet? Where did you investigate and what did you investigate? Then I would also like, Honourable Stein, referring to the cumbersome process to get a forestry license, I would like to know from beginning to end, how long does it take to get a license, taking into account the water licensing and the environmental impact study and all those things from beginning to end?
Thank you,
Honorable Chairperson. Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Fortunately, most of the questions have been responded to as the presentation was continuing. For instance, I had the question for how this issue of licenses for the first steps, then I've got the response now, that is the information of the intergovernmental forum. But in the first presentation, I've got this question. I will tell, there was a mention of the aging in the Federal Workforce. My question is that, can't these people now be allowed to go on pension if perhaps now they are no longer good for the job? So that we give chance now to the young ones. The second presentation, it seems there are challenges now as far as this LME, challenges regarding employment, equity, and skills development. So therefore, I'd like to know now, perhaps are there any plans in place to bring solutions now to these challenges? But according to this 2SE, it is mentioned that now there's an improvement in skills development. Really, I would like to see this chip down there in the rural areas, because I don't see the skills development there. Perhaps if you can just make me to realize it might be happening. Perhaps now I can't, I'm not in a position to see this is happening in the rural areas. Can you just help me, assist me in that case? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Delta, Honorable Mandela.
Thanks, Chair. Let me appreciate the presentation done by the department and the input of the Deputy Minister. I'm left with many questions, Chair, but I want to limit myself to the statement that Comrade Stein uttered, saying that we're dealing with reports of 2012, and I'm left wondering what is current that the department is doing. So I'll just limit myself to this slide of page 33 or slide 33. Results for afforestation studies. Mpumalanga 10,000 hectares. Limpopo 6,000 hectares. KwaZulu-Natal 39,000 hectares. Eastern Cape 100,000 hectares. And because I'm from the home of legends in the Eastern Cape, I will limit myself to that 100,000 hectares. How long will it be 100 hectares? Will we be talking 100 hectares for the whole fifth parliament, or is that 100 hectares going to start going down to 90 hectares, to 80 hectares, to 60 hectares, to 50 hectares, and seed being utilized? Because generally I'm getting the sense, Chairperson, that we're frankly sitting in this study, in this portfolio committee rooms, and we deliberate on issues, but there's nothing visible that we are seeing on the ground happening. So I want to gain an understanding that the community of Bazia, how is it being empowered to ensure that it gains access to a land in the forest and some form of partnership with Merensky? I want to gain an understanding what is happening within Ngeli Forest and the land claim issues that have been dealt with in terms of that by the community right there. What is happening to empower local communities in South Africa that are sitting around these forestation communities? Because that is not coming out through the presentation. And therefore, it makes then our task at hand not really future. How can we measure the work that is being done by the department if we are not seeing the work being done on the ground? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Please pardon me.
Before Honorable Sultan, Honorable Mandela, you said, do you agree with Honorable saying that you can call a congress? Or you can agree? Okay, no, it's fine. If there is an that agreement, it's fine. Honorable Sultan.
Not even the gears. thank you, Chair. I want to re-stress and overstress this, you know, where the fact that this 100,000 hectares in the Eastern Cape is an old story. When I was still working for a parastatal Kornhinga in O.R. Tambo in 2012, this is the figure that we were given. So what Honorable Mandela is saying, I resonate very well with it. It doesn't look like there are any concrete plans to change this. You know, I had it on my notes. But let me come back to others. In page 9, or slide 9, where you're dealing with issues of transformation, my question there is issues of compliance, sorry. You have not listed transformation and job creation as one of the compliance needs. And this perhaps is the fundamental reason why there's hardly any transformation. You allow people to start afforestation or to continue with afforestation, and you don't seem to be putting your foot down to say, as much as you need a water license, so much also is it an absolute necessity for you to show transformation and to actually effect it. Maybe you can throw more light. Maybe I'm not reading you correctly. The same goes for pages 16 and 18. I don't see transformation being highlighted by your department. And page 19, you talk of traditional medicine. My understanding is that the medicine that we get through the pharmacists and medical doctors comes from plants. Now, my question is, if you have got information about traditional medicine, how much of our forest provides, you know, raw material for the medicine from the West, if you like, the medicine that we get from the pharmacists? Because if we can create the need for that, you know, the bark and the roots would provide so much, a revenue for the people who are in the forest sector. That's why I'm asking this question. No, two questions.
Oh.
It was a remark.
No, I've included the three. You have completed one. Honorable,
can I finish up?
No. You've taken your time. Honorable,
thank you, Chair. I will
I will link them because what I want to talk about is that same thing. Yes, it is already. Number slide 9, I think I need to check on the small growers and say 20,000 have been helped with technical and marketing. Now, if you say 20,000 are the individuals within structures, which are those structures, because they will be able to tell us on the progress and the beneficiation very clear. Because if it is individuals, we will not be convinced that it actually boosts a lot in the GDP, but of course in the households and other things. It is linked to slide 14 on the graph there, on the side of the corporate is still retaining much share. Small growers is 3.5. So we would be interested to know on that small growers, how do we see it making inroads in the corporate? Because it is 3.5, half of everything is on the corporate, and the number was saying 20,000. Now, the last one is on the guideline has been developed to support small growers, and always with small growers. Now, if you look from other perspectives, experiences that these things, toolkit, regional offices are there sometimes by name, and we don't see the impact of that. Now, coming back to our department, agriculture, how do we find our regional offices enforcing or implementing the toolkit to an extent that they produce a result? Because what we would like to see as a future report, it should be a progress. Now, as many of our members have been saying, we have not been able to see a practicable progress, because it is something over that, something that...
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Comrade Chair. No, just on slide 27, on the question of MAFISA. MAFISA funding framework reviewed to include forestry. Just an elaboration on that one, because in my view, it's a law. And surely there are those who are unable to repay the loans. What are we doing in terms of that? The other one will be on slide 29, just to explain. When bullet point number 3, they say DAF has established capital land and restitution trust. The question of disbursement of funds, how is it done? What's the criteria? And all of that. But there is somewhere where I noted the issue of awareness to the people out there. And you know, when they say forest, the cause of Toba Gaula for building houses and all that. Because they may not be aware of the importance of that forest. What are we doing in terms of ensuring that those people are aware of the importance of the forest? Yeah, my hope, Lando Yamakoa Ngowane, it's quite dangerous, I think, if it's not properly done. Speaking up a mushroom, a wild mushroom, can be very dangerous benefited. And I'm saying if people are encouraged to do that, there must be very strict education, very strict monitoring of all those things when we deal with the agro forestry. Yes, I think we need to guide people a lot because for good intention, if not guided, they can die. That's
one minute, Honorable
Sultan,
I still have
your
1 minute for that question.
Oh, thank you very much. Page 5, rental. I'm aware of this standing provision that, you know, where government retains rental and only pays it out when claims reach settlement stage. Is there a problem in changing that legislation? Once a claim reaches a stage where it is, I'll confuse the two terms now, settlement and finalization. I think it's finalization before they actually pay out. Because I think this is one of the things that would actually encourage people, you know, to make sure that, you know, they participate in this economic development, you know, element of the whole forestry. I think government should begin to think seriously about gazetting a proclamation that would enable it to release the rental, but to hold it back all the time is just not helpful. And then, lastly, why is there no provision? Why is it that we can't find on page 27? That one. Okay. Thanks, sir. As long as I've had an opportunity to ask that principal one. Thanks a lot, sir. I appreciate it. Can I? Okay. Why is there no provision for funding when forestry is contributing so much to the GDP? Why is it that government cannot find funding somewhere? Thank you, sir.
Department, as you are going to respond, please be very specific to the question so that we maximize the response but with little time. We've spent 2 hours today to present, and now I'm limiting my members to ask the questions, which is a very wrong practice that I've done, GM. So, as they respond, please, under your leadership, can they just so into the answer?
Thanks, Dr. Tao and Babu Mukhana, the debate, Andras. Chairperson, forestry was brought in this department in 2009. Coming from where it was coming from. So what was brought here. And maybe I have to be very circumspect dealing with the issues of forests. There's been a little bit of it being an offer for us. Somehow, since 2009, there's been a little bit of an offer. The presidential instruction that ministers and deputy ministers will have to be on a fixed way, separate and give each other the duties, that was presidential. Before, it would be an arrangement between the minister and the deputy. No more. It's written down, it's down, president instructed that it will go that way. Forestry was given in the office of the deputy minister. Maybe it's designated in a way that we need to focus on. I don't want an easy way, but the gaps that you talk about are the gaps that needs to be closed and to make it illustrative as I'm sitting here. Sounds foolish to say that I have a real issue about their presentation here. I think we're together in Mpumalanga. We're together in Mpumalanga, and serious issues were raised by the communities themselves. We haven't closed those gaps. They will answer, but I'll leave it there. This does not exclude me completely at
by the honorable members here. But maybe that question, the last one from Honorable Fultan, that we give money before the finalization. The question is, to who do you give the money if it is not finalized? Because it might be for Fultanis that have claimed, yet the land belongs to Trades, yet we have given the money to Fultanis. So that's why it must be finalized before the settlement. We must be all sure that the money goes where it's supposed to go. We might find out that you are creating wars unnecessarily. The example, Chairperson, this one is Yombazwana and Mandangwenya in KZN, where people, they said they've given the money to a certain body in that province called Ngonyama Trust. That is supposed to be on behalf of this community. When you speak to Ngonyama Trust, they say no, the money is not with them. They point in the other people, go to those people, they say no, we got half of that. So it's a question of the finalization, and then you act on it. I think we'll have to really take care of that. We might come with unnecessary wars at the end of the day. So I'll allow the questions. I've requested that the DG and the rest of us were succinct and distinct and very economic with our question, but very much understandable. Thanks.
Thank you very much for the questions, and an apology for the slide that contained all the information, particularly about the jobs. As I indicated in the beginning, by 2012, it was that figure, but then we just need to apologize and make sure that we align with the current figures in terms of the job figures in terms of the state of the forest report, the latest one. So we apologize and we'll deal with that. Briefly on the questions, forestry indeed, it's one of the factors that can contribute to radical socio-economic transformation. We acknowledge that. We, as we have indicated in the APEP, our key priorities is the issue of reducing our temporary unplanted areas so that we can have a scope, a wider scope or a bigger scope of planted areas, and by extension create jobs. Statistics indicate that for every 1,000 hectares that you plant, about 70 jobs are created. So this is very important. The second priority is fast-tracking the water licensing, which is an issue that would require intervention to make sure that it is really addressed. And the issue of implementing the charter itself, the charter, forest sector charter priorities. So these are things that we need support, and as a department, we also are wanting to follow up on. We are trying to set up what we call, in line with the APEP, the forestry sector value chain roundtable, so that we can discuss with the sector players about how do we speed up priorities in the APEP regarding forestry. Briefly on the lease arrangements that exist nationally, the only lease arrangements are those that we mentioned, particularly under Category A forests, are the ones that we mentioned in the Eastern Cape. The other ones are dependent on the finalization of land claims, which is a process that we are working with rural development on. The other issues is about how long it takes to issue afforestation license certificate in terms of the water licensing. What I learned recently is that the authority to approve water licensing, and here water and sanitation also confirm, used to rest at the director level, but it has been upped to a higher level, and therefore the department experiences backlog as a result of workloads on the officials to whom the responsibility has been assigned. But this bill gives us the responsibility to make sure that we pursue the department so that this matter can resolve. It is on this basis that we requested that a business process on issuing of water licenses so that this matter can be finalized. Planting of woodlots, I have colleagues who work in the regions. They can talk about forest development work as it applies in various regions. The agroforestry investigation, this is a project that we are going to undertake this financial year. We will work with a service provider and it will apply throughout the country. We are just on the verge of finalizing the requirement of the services of that service provider. So as soon as in future when we come to brief, we'll be able to indicate how far the process is. But it's a matter that is our priority. We learned from the Argentina, we were informed about the Argentina model, about the Mount Kilimanjaro model, and we read about this, and it can be something that will add value. The issue of aging and fragile workforce, my colleague will talk to that in terms of the arrangements. And I suppose on the skills development question, my colleague from the Charter Council will talk about that. The 100,000 hectares in the Eastern Cape, Honorable Member Mandela, I'll concretize my facts, but what I've learned in one meeting with the Sengisi Forest Product was that a certain number of hectares has been planted. I'll just get concrete information about the exact number towards the Mzumkulu area. I'll verify my facts and then submit that in writing. And then on the impact. Okay, thank you, Honorable Member. Yes, as you probably will also find out, Sengisi starts from Elangeni, the Sengisi package. Starts from Elangeni plantation up to Mzimkulu area. That's how the package is structured. Yes, it's rather two provinces. But we'll provide additional information, Honorable Member. Okay. On the impact, my colleague working on the ground will also assist with that. Yes, on the issue of provision of raw materials for medicines, it is correct. It does contribute. On Friday, when the DM led a team to Marisbeck area in the family plantations, we also learned that cellulose is produced from forest products and other, you know, your I think there was an issue about yogurt and ice cream and other things. So it really has a huge contribution to various products, some of which we were not even aware. Okay, support to small growers. On this one, I think I'll need assistance and the guidelines regarding that. On the MAFISA, we will also provide a written and clear reply. Because it has just been discussed at top management level of the department, and I would really request that I be allowed to go and work on a thorough, clearly defined report and submit that. The disbursement arrangement for the rental, we have, after experiences with the payment of those communities in the Sengisi area around Mthatha, we realized that it may help to develop what you call a rental disbursement model, in terms of which rental will only be released with the submission of a project proposal or business proposal by the land claimant community, because just paying out money results with fines. So we developed a rental disbursement model. One of the communities, the St. Paul community, is adhering to that. Hence, we are able to pay rental to them, and even this year, we managed to pay some rental to that community. and then how to make communities aware of the importance of forests. My colleagues working in the regions, talking to communities continually, can also assist on those aspects. Thank you very much, colleagues.
Thank you, DDG. Honorable Chairperson, Deputy Minister, and honorable members, my apologies for my voice. I'm not feeling well. I'm going to go straight to the question by Honorable Jason regarding the aging and ailing workforce. Forestry by nature is very labor intensive. Forestry by nature is labor intensive. You find that someone who's my age, for as long as they work in the forest, the silvicultural activities that are involved there, and you know the slopes that they have to climb, they make them very sick, and you might find that somebody my age is already very ailing, and it's not easy just to say you go on pension. We either wait for natural attrition, but what the department is doing now, we are helping them to go on early retirement due to ill health. We have partnered with our HR who's assisting, they are all out to assist them to go in accordance with the policy on ill health. The issue of what kind of empowerment to communities that was raised by Honorable Mandela, and what kind of work is done on the ground. We are trying to localize our procurement as and when there are tenders that goes out, especially for the different activities, the maintenance in the plantations. We make sure that we consider the local people first. And if there are no any other, you know, skilled people in the area, that is when we can accept someone from outside the province. The impact that we have on the ground is very limited. This takes us back to the fact that in the department, there is no grant funding for forestry. For example, in agriculture, you've got your CASP. You've got your Comprehensive Agricultural Support Package, which is a fund, which is a grant. But when it comes to forestry, you don't have any of those kinds. So that is where we are looking at MASISA with the hope that we'll be able to make an impact on the ground. The support given to small growers, the 20,000 that is mentioned on slide 9, it's the support that is given to individuals, taking into account that there is no dedicated funding. So we are saying we cannot just let our people not know how to plant, even though we don't have funds. We do release our people to go and assist them, especially in line with the SADC protocol on forestry, which promotes communal forestry. We do assist them technically. There's no money involved. That is why we're counting individuals, not cooperatives. I don't know which one did I skip. Thank you.
On the issues of management control and skills development, the previous codes didn't set targets an organization could choose amongst the seven elements. Now, with the new codes introduced in May, at least now there are targets that have been set, and the elements have been reduced from 7 to 5. And there are elements that have been prioritized, and management control, employment equity, skills development have been prioritized, that if enterprises do not meet the set targets around those elements, they get discounted in terms of the points that they get for them to qualify for any government job. And we are hoping that because of these new targets and the discounting, the discounting has become a problem. We know that industry associations are complaining now vehemently about the discounting factor that has been introduced. But for us, it gives us teeth, because now targets are set for enterprises to meet, and that if people don't meet those those targets, then they're discounted and they get lower points, which means that in terms of getting government work, then they would have issues. But the other issue is that in terms of skills development, the sector that deals with skills development is also struggling to try and get people to participate in skills development. And you find that the people that are submitting the workplace skills plans, which are the training plans that documents have to, that enterprises have to submit to the sector to show compliance with skills development, are not received from the whole of industry. Only a few and large companies comply with that element, and the sector itself is trying to overcome that issue. But we are happy that because of the targets that have been set through the new code now, we will be able now to make people to our account and to make sure that people to avoid being discounted. Now they will try to meet the priority elements, which includes skills development, management control, and employment equity. But the previous targets didn't really provide us with a lot of kit for us to go out there and make sure that organizations meet the or they are compliant with those elements. In terms of the GDP, forestry contributes 1% to the national GDP and 7.7 to the manufacturing.
I'm saying, are you going to buy the
chips
now?
Didn't have the chips. No, we're not going to buy the chips, but just now we have more powers now to make organizations comply, because legislation provides us with the power now, because before we didn't have the power to approach organizations and ask them to comply.
Thank you very much. We still have 5 minutes, or you want to respond? We're not done. Okay. All right.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable Chair, we left out two issues that we want to highlight. One was from Honorable Sustain, whether the sector is in decline. I think that's like other sectors, and it's linked to the figures, 165 to 146, in terms of jobs. As we indicated, there's been a reduction in planted area from 1.5 million now to 1.2. That has implications on the jobs. So and by extension, timber supply itself. So it's an area of a challenge. That's why afforestation is one of the priorities in terms of the APEC, so that we are able to have the sector contributing to job creation, food security, and so on and so forth. So it's an area requiring support so that it can be achieved. On the question about certification and licensing, I think we can just state the distinction. Licensing is in terms of the National Water Act, in terms of obtaining license to can plant in a particular area where a study has already been done and it has been identified to be suitable. Certification applies to an existing plantation or existing forest to check whether it complies with sustainable forest management principles and practices. Those six areas that I mentioned. So what I'm actually trying to say is that certification applies to the existing ones. Licensing applies to where you want to start planting. So we are trying hard to make sure that we have some of our plantations, even natural forest certified. On the issue of 70-year lease, the DMS correctly indicated the cabinet decision that has been made, and it was made on the basis that looking at the pine rotation in the country, depending on area, obviously, between 25 and 35 years that you can manage pine, but you can have 8 to 12 year rotation on eucalyptus in particular in certain areas. So it was to give the companies, as we understood it, the opportunity to at least harvest twice and replant. So that's how we understood. And then finally, if through DM and DG, if it's possible, we can submit in writing information on MAFISA support, the Eastern Cape afforestation question, and how we will keep the factor will impact on radical socio-economic transformation, so that that is clear to members and the support that is required.
I think we will come on the training issues and what do we do for skilling our youth.
Thank you,
CM.
Thank you, Chair. Just a short response. I think we provided this information at the committee workshop because I think there was an interest in if the current crop of foresters and policymaking researchers are aging, what we are doing about it. So we provided a written response just to give assurance that we are funding together with the fiber and processing CETA a number of students over the last 3 years. There are 54 students who we are funding right from the basic, you know, undergraduate to master's studies. So I think there is that investment. There's also lots of other work around learnerships, etc. So I thought we must just give that assurance because there is an interest, a growing interest of students in the sector.
Can I just ask one other question that I didn't ask in the first round and no one else asked it? Do I be allowed? It is also just this trust funding of the communities, the trust funds that's being held. Who's looking after it? Someone, it must be reported somewhere, and our portfolio has never received this report, so I would like to know where is it reported and who looks after it, because who's looking after the trust funding and does the department report to someone and who do they report to? Because we need to check maybe as this portfolio on the trust fund and for the community.
So if ASIC has not been responded to, then which community has received this money?
Where do they report to that?
It has not been responded to.
The money is with the TIC, Public Investment Corporation. It's a public entity. Well, I don't know who is the CEO. At one time it was Brian Molefe, who was. But it's a public entity, a government entity. So if you want maybe to hear from them and give the report, let's speak to them. But it's the money that is in the government entity. These health monies is difficult. We need to really take care of them. But it was explained, I think it's a St. Paul community. Because I can't remember the community the way they came and they said they want their money. Money, what's your last, last. Money, we might have. Wong and their mama, but they write, they really wish, give it a day, whatever, a pay money. Now, that's not the way of running people's money. So, St. Paul, the new methodology was saying, we love to work on community projects. To like work on. So St. Paul, there is a project where that money goes to the project rather than going to the individual. That's that. So, but there are few chapters in that the finalization has come. And kids were told, because this is not run by the Department of Agriculture, this falls under the rural development. It's them that will finally assure us that now you can disperse, you can deal with it. But that's a new way of trying to deal with it, to go to programs rather than going
Thing this is about 47 million? Less than that. So that money you give it to individuals will be nothing. But if you go to programs, community programs, will be quite significant. That's the way we are working on it.
Okay, thank you very much, dear. We were summarizing to say that now that the baby is no longer an orphan, he's got the father who will get married to two wives so that he can then make sure that the baby is fed properly. So we actually expect to teach you in the first quarter. You remember that you're supposed to come and brief us on the issue of Mafisa, and that issue would come with that support. The second issue is that the radical socio-economic transformation in the next meeting as we meet, particularly on forestry, would want that, and that is then you, Deputy Minister, and your the sector itself do those round tables, come up with the baseline, because there's no baseline. Even in the APEC, there is no baseline. We need to have that baseline. And on the issues of empowerment, I think it will be important that as you report to us, must give empowerment basis. This thing of general empowerment. You know, if you go, everybody's crying, no jobs, no empowerment, nothing. But government daily is empowering people. Who are these people? So that some of them can say, these are the people that government is empowering. So if those empowerment must get faces, it will be very helpful. In the next meetings, and I think that's how we summarize. And I know that one of the things that is within this section is land care program, and there is a conditional grant that goes to the provinces. If in the next meeting we can get it, how is it working in the provinces and assisting in building up on this forestry sector, it will be very, very helpful. And rural development, and it is important to us that now you are budding, you're working together. They've got the animal affairs management program, which is doing the same thing here. Write them, they've got a lot of budget so that we support forestry and issues of land care together. So if next time as we meet, we can then have a focus and the baseline, even those that have not been reporting in the sector, I think you must go and drag them. If you have given them whether they are renting or what, there must be penalties that they are not reporting. It cannot be the reason that because they don't have a national organization, therefore they can't report. It cannot be the reason. I think they should be. If they don't know how to form the national organization, go and help them to form the national organization so that they then report. And thank you very much for coming, DM. Anything from your side before we leave?
No, thanks for affording the opportunity for us to talk about the forestry. We are trying really to put it on the map. As I said, last Thursday we invited 200 students from grade 11, 12 until the one that is doing PhD on forestry to be part of the industry the whole day in Maritzburg, and we're practically going to these forestries, by products, what they do, and what is the thing where they put together the aquaculture and forestry and vegetables, everything together in one spectrum. It's quite interesting. Many gaps. One of them has been asked here. The small growers. To be honest, it's a joke. It's a joke that we need to make it serious, because some of them, they have 4 hectares. So you wait for 8-12 years for 4 hectares, that will give you 40,000 in 12 years. So and we say people who are empowering them. That's the issue you are closing with. You say, what is this phase? I'm not going to say I'm empowering you, giving you 4 hectares of forestry to wait 4 hectares for 12 years. So those are the things that we'll be working on and really try to work. We are trying to invite IMC in the preparation of 7th to 11th, where there is a 14th for World Forestry Congress that will take place in Durban. The IMC of the 15 ministers overseeing that was supposed to meet, I think, yesterday, but we'll be meeting soon to work on that. 13 to 15 in George, we're having Indaba, that is in preparation on going forward. The last one, the industry that we met, has agreed to sponsor 200 students, young students, to go to the conference international to completely sponsor them. We're working with them. So there are some good, for instance, I must say, because I was quite perturbed myself, that Mondi flatly refused to attend the conference. The working with students and others, they all come. Mondi said, a baseball lab. So those are the things that we'll be working, that everybody complies and everybody have a way forward on this matter. Thanks, Shepherdson.
Okay. Thank you very much. I think the sooner you send us that letter, so that we prepare Parliament. If you have got our program, we'll appreciate it. And thank you very much, GM, and your team, your release. Thank you.
honorable members, let's consider the minutes. But before the minutes, as members still preparing themselves, tomorrow we're meeting. We're joining rural development on the AgriPact. They are going to receive AgriPact presentation from rural development and land report. So we've been invited as a portfolio committee. So we'll be joining them in their meeting. What time is it? That's at 10 o'clock in 249. And the agriculture has been invited. So it's actually our day. It's just implemented by so it's our day. So members are urged to attend if can, please. The second issue is that we have noticed that there is a change in the program of Parliament. We're supposed to have oversight visits 2 weeks. Now it's been reduced to one. So we have submitted a request for oversight for one province, Limpopo, which is disadvantaging our plan as we investigate it. And we're not even sure whether it will succeed. I've noticed that the program here changes every day. So we'll see when that time comes. So can we look at the minutes? The minutes of the 2nd of June. Page 1, page 2. Get the mover for the adoption of the minutes. Honorable Mandela.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to move for the adoption of the minutes of the 2nd of June 2015. Thank you.
Thank you, Seconder. Honorable State, I'm seconding, Chair. Thank you very much. Let's look at the minutes of the 5th of June. Page 1. Page 2, page 3, page 4. Can we get the mover? Honorable State, proposal to accept the minutes change. Proposal to accept the minutes, second, Honorable Kongwani. Honorable Chongwan.
I second.
Thank you very much. Let's look at the minutes of the 9th June. Page 1. Page 2. Page 3 and page 4. Any mover for the adoption? Honorable Mandela.
Thank you, Chair. I move for the adoption of the minutes of the 9th of June 2015 as the true reflection of the meeting, and therefore I move for the adoption.
Thank you, Sakanda. Honorable Yonglu, I second the motion. Thank you very much. Honorable members, tomorrow program we will be presenting the report on your behalf on the request for MA for us to consider those sections of PAPA principal bill that should be submitted. And I think that on the program was supposed to report on the long overstanding report of the one triplicated end report. So we wanted to present that report tomorrow, so we need to bring that. Yeah, I think that's what is going to happen tomorrow. Honorable State?
Are you finished? I just wanted to ask, I know that you just mentioned the LAPOPA oversight, but can we maybe get some kind of a draft program for next term? Just to start looking at planning and how...
Okay, we will distribute it immediately. We are ready. Now, not ready yet because of the changes of the program. We will actually send immediately when we try to condense our work because of the changes that are affecting our program, and then we'll send it to as soon as possible. Honorable Susan?
Thank you, Chair. There's an issue around the alternate members, which I raised with you a couple of months back. Has it been finalized? So I don't know whether I should brace myself to go with or not. Thank you.
I've tried to raise it with the chair of chairs. The same is the rule of this parliament. That needs to be raised in the carry this forum that all parties are there. Yes. So that can be because one of the things is that the reason, which is not almost, but the reason has been that it's affecting the budget, and even the budget in the sense that sometimes you budget for number of people, book for number of people, and then only two come attended. Then it's in the, then the public expenditure on parliament. So that's why they stick to only members. Yeah. So and I've tried to engage whether if a member makes that request in writing, which is something that commits himself not to attend, such that you don't experience that footless expenditure said cannot respond to that because it has not been looked at that. So I don't know how I can help Honorable Susan. I tried. Anything? So the Eastern Cape people were still waiting for your availability to go where we were sent. Honorable Makakwan is supposed to leave after the... Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.
Gracias.